singing that hymn reminds me of this psalm. Of course, it's based on Psalm 19, the riches of the Word of God. If we ever put a placard out in front of our church and said, gold will be given away today, people would flock in if they believed it. But we have something more precious than gold, which we're considering, and that is the Word of God. And so I trust that your hearts will be warmed as we consider God's Word. Today we're going to take up a topic which you might expect or maybe not, and that is mothers. Now, we are not dictated to by calendars of whatever sort. We're not dictated to by Hallmark cards that would love to sell us many Mother's Day cards today, or the last few days, I hope, or buy flowers or whatever. We are not under that authority. We are under the authority of the Word of God. And the Word of God never says to remember any day except the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day. And so we remember that day, that's why we're here. But on the other hand, the Bible does talk about mothers, and to appreciate our mothers and to remember them and to even consider what makes a good mother, that's not a bad thing. And the Bible does talk about that. And so if you want a title for this sermon, it would be The Excellent Mother. An excellent mother who can find. Well, we don't find that exact phrase in the Bible, but an excellent wife who can find. We do read in Proverbs 31:10, her worth is far above rubies or jewels. Well, I would say that an excellent wife would also be an excellent mother who can find. And maybe you say, oh no, here we go again. I'm not a mother. Okay, I'm sure that 50% of you are not mothers and will never be mothers. And maybe some of the other 50% will not be mothers, and I'm very sensitive to that fact, but I am 100% sure that 100% of you have mothers, or you wouldn't be here. And so there is something to learn from this, but also as we see the Bible describe those character traits that would make for a good mother, to be honest with you, it would also make a good person. So whoever you are, don't tune me out, don't turn me off, because even if you're not a mother, you can learn something. Because who should we be under God's hand to be useful in His kingdom, whether as a mother or as anybody? You can learn something today. And so let's ask that God would help us all to profit from His Word this morning, as we especially consider what makes an excellent mother. Who can find her? Well, we have found her, and she is present here, many of you, by God's grace. And so let's pray that these mothers would be more excellent mothers, and that all of us would be more excellent people by God's grace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do look to You because we know that only You can save a soul. Only You can take those who are born dead in sin, transform, make new people, new creatures in Christ who are not anymore following the way of this world, which is the way of looking out for number one and seeking what is good for me, but seeking that which is for Your glory and for the good of our neighbors rather than ourselves. And so help us. May we all profit from the Word. Help me as I speak. I need Your help. Help us all as we hear, because we all need Your help, that we might profit, grow, and that those who are yet strangers to Your grace would see themselves exposed and find the way of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in His precious name. Amen. Now, we learned earlier in the adult Bible class of how to be a good grandparent, which would include a good grandmother. And so I'd like to begin by reading to you a tribute that my niece wrote for my mom. Now, Carol warned me that I might not get through this without crying, but I'll try. I'll do my best. Because, you know, I've sat in a pew and a seat out there. When the pastor starts getting weepy, you feel uncomfortable. And you know, what's wrong with this guy? Okay, so I don't want to put you through that. So pray for me, too. All right, so this is what my niece wrote about my own mother. My niece is a nurse, my mom was a nurse, And this is what she wrote about her grandmother, the nurse. In honor of Nurses Week this week, I wanted to share a little of my story of why I became a nurse and also pay a tribute to my grandmother, Grammy. Growing up, she was always a role model to me in more ways than she probably knew. Not only was she a dear friend and grandmother, she was the person who inspired me to become a nurse. And though I never knew her during her years as a nurse, I always knew her to be the most caring and compassionate person. I grew up hearing her crazy nursing stories. If you know, you know. That was my niece's comment. From a young age, and always listened in awe when she talked about what nurses' training was like in the 50s, how many babies she delivered on her own when there was no doctor to be found. Surprisingly, a good number. And stories of times when she was there for people at their absolute lowest moments. As a grandmother, and I'm sure also as a nurse, she knew how to make anyone laugh in any given situation. And whenever I was sad, she knew exactly what to say to cheer me up. Grammy valued kindness immensely and always went out of her way to make others feel seen and cared for. Nobody was a stranger to her. She had a way of making even the person at the grocery store laugh or put a smile on their face in some way. You couldn't enter her house without her offering you ice cream or some other baked good. Her generosity and kindness was simply radiant in her day-to-day life, and I wanted to follow in her footsteps and emulate the way she lived her life through being a nurse. And those who are nurses understand that kindness, generosity, and compassion are absolutely essential parts of being a nurse. So I wanted to care for people just by watching the way she lived her life. Even though she is no longer with me, my memory of her inspires me to be a better nurse and go the extra mile for people every day, no matter the circumstances. Grammy, I miss you every day. But I'm so glad God bless me in having you as a grandmother. Now, this was a niece, a grandchild to her grandmother, but I could say the same about my mom. That's what she was, an excellent mother. And I thank God for my mom. And I trust that God will use His word to mold and shape each one of you moms to be a better mom, but each one of us. Because as my niece said about my mom, she wanted to emulate her kindness, her compassion, her sweetness, her sense of humor. My mom could make people laugh. And she was a blessing where she went. Of course, she had her bad days, like all of us. But she was a sweet lady. And not putting her up on a pedestal and not saying she's the absolute greatest. But she displayed many of these character traits that I'm going to speak about today. So what's an excellent wife? Let's look at Proverbs 31. Because an excellent wife is going to make an excellent mom. And we're not going to go on through a verse-by-verse exposition of this passage, but just to draw out some things and focus, highlight some character traits that make an excellent mom. An excellent Christian, for that matter, an excellent person. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maids. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching or the law of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Well, what is the character that we see described in these verses? As I said, this would be a character of a godly wife or a godly mother. But these character traits are not just for women. These character traits that we see embodied here would be for all of us. Whatever your role, whatever your place in your family and society, in the church, good for all of us. And this is how I would outline the things we're going to draw out of the passage. First of all, this woman is an excellent wife before she's an excellent mother. Secondly, she is kind. Kindness is all too rare in our society. This woman, this excellent mother, is kind. She is diligent. The whole passage just exudes diligence. She is wise. What makes a person wise? That's important. And lastly, she fears the Lord, which is the answer to my question. So let's start then with the first thing. An excellent mother starts by being an excellent wife. Before she became a mother, she was a wife. Now, that ought to be the way things work. I know in this sin-cursed world, it doesn't always happen that way. We have unwed mothers and who then are saved, and yet they have to raise children on their own. That's a difficult situation. I understand that. But ordinarily, the little rhyme that we said as kids, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Susie with a baby carriage, right? That was a taunt we would sing to our friends, as it were, when we were little. I don't know if kids still do that. But there are, of course, anomalies, situations which don't follow the usual or biblical pattern, but God's grace is sufficient even to overcome and make up for the years the locusts have eaten. And so if you're in one of those different or difficult situations, just look to God for grace and seek to be the best mom you can, even if you're not presently a wife because of divorce or all of these anomalies, all of the difficulties that sin brings into our lives. But what I want to underscore here is that the husband is ordinarily, again, is a priority. She is an excellent wife before she's a mother. I remember when I was young, I think I heard it in a sermon somewhere. I heard it somewhere anyhow. This saying, the best gift a man can give his children is to love their mother. Of course, it works the other way around. The best gift a mom can give her children is to love their father. Again, we're talking about the ordinary pattern, biblical pattern of husband and wife, Christian family. There are many anomalies and abnormalities. I understand that. But it's a great gift to children to see mom and dad walking together in unity and harmony and love. You know, in the Northeast, and I'm sure it's the same here in our country all over, there's so many broken families, and it grieves me. I teach in our Christian school at Trinity, 7th grade, and even though the procedure to be admitted, to have a child admitted into the school, they have to have at least one parent that's a Christian. There are in my class, a set of twins who lost their dad. There are two others who have come from broken families. That's in a, quote, Christian environment. In this world, how many children are growing up handicapped without that blessing? And so Christian families here in this church, your kids have such a privilege such a blessing to grow up in a home with unity. That is vital. What are older women? You older women, there's something for you here too. What are older women to teach the younger women? Titus chapter 2. Well, Paul tells Titus to teach the older women to pass on something to the younger women. In Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, he says to them, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may literally instruct, admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice, what comes before loving the children? Loving the husbands. And so, again I say, ladies, don't forget your husband. There's one complaint some men make that, you know, now we have kids and I'm sitting over here and baby junior gets all the attention and I'm neglected and put on a big lip and pout and forget about it, men. But ladies, don't neglect your husband. All right? Enough said. So a good mom is a good wife and loves her husband. Secondly, she is kind. There are a couple verses in here that speak of this. The favorite one, my favorite, is in verse 26. It says, the law of kindness is on her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She has a bridle on her tongue, and so that's sarcastic, negative, critical, cutting speech is resisted, is, if not eliminated, is certainly subdued and suppressed. Now, to bridle the tongue is difficult. James acknowledges that in James chapter 3, says verse 6 through 10. You may want to turn there. Because the law of kindness on her lips means that her tongue is kept from a lot of stuff that would not be kind. James chapter 3 says this, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of birds, of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Well, we need to bridle, to curb, to control our tongues. Now, James acknowledges this is difficult. It's perhaps a bit of an exaggeration that he says every creature has been tamed. My grandchildren in the Philippines have some pet snails. I don't know if these snails have been tamed. I tend to doubt it. Whether they're tameable. Again, I have a question mark there. So James is using hyperbole, exaggeration to make an effect. But he is making the point. You can tame horses, you can tame dogs, you can train them to sit, roll over, play dead. But your tongue, to teach it to stop when it wants to wag and spread gossip, to stop it when it wants to strike back, that is difficult. James acknowledges this. But this excellent mom, the law of kindness, is a law that she seeks to obey, that I am going to speak with kindness. Now, of course, there are different words that must come from our mouths, and sometimes it's words of rebuke, sometimes it's words of correction. That's necessary and good and proper, but it's always done, or to be done, with love and kindness. The law of kindness is on her lips. Sometimes it's the soft answer. The Lord tells us a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer. You know, we can get provoked. It's so easy to provoke people. And there's some who take delight in provoking you. It seems like that's their goal in life, is to stir you up and make you say something bad. I mean, in the world, there are people, they might know you're a Christian, know your testimony, and they just want to goad you and see you respond in a wicked way. And they're going to do their best to make it happen. Well, you need to be aware of that. Be on your guard. Bridle your tongue. And speak a soft answer. My mom would have put it this way. You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Not that we want to catch flies necessarily. But you use honey in your speech, and it goes a lot farther than bitter vinegar speech. So, word to the wise, a soft answer. As Paul told the Colossians, here's a verse that I pray in my regular going through scriptures. I have a few verses that I've called out, or maybe, I don't know, 20 or so, that I need to remember, and I go through them on a cycle. One of them is Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you might know how you should respond to each person. You don't necessarily respond the right way. Well, you want to respond. How can I respond in grace? Let your speech be with grace. I can say this about my dad. He was, you know, some people get older and they get crotchety. My dad could have been crotchety if he wasn't a Christian. But he responded to the Word of God, and so I gave him, at one point he got a little critical of just about anything. So I said, Dad, I think you need to pray this verse every day. So I just gave him the reference. And after he passed away, I found in his notebook, he had taken this verse and written it out. Let your speech be with grace, in his prayer notebook. Well, maybe you need to pray that verse. Let my speech, O Lord, be with grace, that I might know how to respond graciously and give glory to you instead of responding carnally and wickedly and sinfully in my speech day by day. The law of kindness is on her lips. So as one man said, engage your mind before you put your mouth in gear. Well, engage your heart and pray that God will help you respond with grace. What are gracious words? Well, words of love to your family, especially. Do you tell them you love them? And, you know, it's not just words, but genuine. It's encouraging to hear that from family members, even from a Zoom call or whatever from the other side of the world. And it lightens the heart. Words of love. Words of appreciation. Moms, do you appreciate your kids when they do a little something for you? Words of appreciation. Thank you. You know, genuine, common, well, it's not so common anymore, courtesy of appreciation. Words of gentle rebuke where needed. Proverbs 28:23. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Rebuke in grace. And that takes a skill. Practice, sometimes experience. Sometimes I found, and I learned this from Pastor Al Martin when I was in Trinity Ministerial Academy, instead of starting with an accusation, start with a question. Could it be? Maybe I didn't understand, but could it be that when you said this, you weren't really understanding the situation? Could it be that when you responded that way, God wasn't really glorified? Could it be? Give them an opportunity to examine themselves, to respond, instead of coming in with an accusation. Look at what you did. That will put up the defenses immediately. begin with a question, a rebuke, a gentle rebuke. He who rebukes finds favor. Words of instruction are words of kindness as well. Words of instruction. So teach. And so moms have a lot to teach their kids. As I indicated, my mom taught us a lot, not just by words of instruction, also by example. But this is also, you see, how this woman acts in kindness. Notice her deeds of kindness, verse 20, going back to Proverbs chapter 31. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not oblivious. She's not unaware and uncaring. She does good. Now, I believe we got through all the fruit of the Spirit in my previous visits here. And one of those fruits is kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Kindness. She extends her hands to the poor. Kindness and goodness. Well, kindness leads you to do good. And this reminds me of Jesus as Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, was taken to Cornelius' household. You may remember that an angel appeared to this man, this Roman centurion Cornelius, and said, "Go send for Peter, who's in Tarsus, what's the name of that town? Joppa. Bring Peter here, and he will tell you the way of life." And so Peter came, and what did Peter say? "You know of Jesus," he preached Jesus. "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." This is how this woman acts. She does acts of mercy. The law of kindness is on her lips, and the acts of kindness are in her hands. She went about, like Jesus, doing good. I've meditated on that verse in Peter's description of the Savior before he got to his work on the cross. He says, "You know about this. This is not done in a corner. This was the news that was spread around Palestine. This man, Jesus, he does all things well. He went about doing good, healing, feeding 5,000. Now, we can't heal. We can't feed 5,000. But we can do good. We can maybe feed one or two, maybe five, maybe 10. We can't feed 5,000. But we can do good. Jesus set us an example. The moms can set an example for their kids. Soft answer in words, kindness in words, kindness in deeds. Teach your children the law of kindness by your example. Another thing about this godly mom, right, she's a good wife, she is kind. Thirdly, she is diligent. Look at the whole passage again here in Proverbs 31. She has the whole array of domestic talents. This is super mom. All right, and maybe you say, "I'm not super mom," but okay, I'm not super dad, but look at what you can learn. She can sew, spin, and knit. Proverbs 31:13. She looks for wool and flax. She works with her hands in delight. Wool and flax. Well, you know what that is. Wool, that's what you get off a sheep. And what do you do with wool? You can't sew with wool. You have to take that wool and pull it out and stretch it out and spin it. And so it does say later on that she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. What's this? These are implements used to spin wool into yarn or thread, and then you can sew with it. You can weave and you can make cloth out of it, and then you can sew the cloth. All right, so this is what she does. She has an array of domestic talents. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, verse 21-22. Why not? All her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So she can sew. So she knits, she sews, she weaves. She can make linen garments and sell them. Verse 24. So she even has a surplus from what she has sewn, not only for her own family, however many kids there were, we don't know, but she also has enough left over to sell to the tradesmen. So she is wise in her domestic talents. But notice also, she is a wise shopper. A wise shopper. Look at verse 14 of chapter 31. She is like merchant ships and brings her food from afar. There's no Costco in her town, so she goes to the next town and goes to the Costco there. She brings her food from afar. So she finds good bargains, she supplies, she takes care of all this domestic work in the home. She's also a diligent food preparer. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night. She gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. So she prepares this food diligently. Wow, what a woman. She may be involved in home-based industry. Again, she makes linen garments and sells them, and belts for the trade, or perhaps even real estate. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So, real estate. Now, you say, what a woman. How can I don't know these things. My mom didn't teach me these things. But we have YouTube. I fix cars with YouTube. I do all sorts of stuff. There's bad stuff there, but there's good stuff there. There's so much we can learn, and you can make up. There are older women in the church. Older women? You can perhaps have a seminar on, well, I don't know about weaving or spinning, but perhaps sewing or how to, a cooking class, or you have a new recipe. I know ladies do this. They share these things. But notice that none of these home-based industry things that it mentions take her away from her home duties. She prepares clothing, she sells clothing, but she made it for her own kids, and she has others. She does this real estate business, but it's not like it takes her away from her family. That's why I call it home-based industry. So, diligent. This excellent mom is a hard-working mom. She doesn't sit, watch the washing machine spin. Well, it's not done yet. I've got 15 minutes. She lets that washing machine spin and do part of her work for her while she does something else. She's a diligent, faithful mom. But furthermore, next thing we need to know, she's a good wife. She is kind. She is diligent, but she is also wise. Verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom. She speaks with wisdom. It's seen in her speech. Now, we dealt with the tongue in kindness already, but not only is her speech kind, it's also wise. Now, one of the things of a wise speaker is knowing when to be quiet. Right? Sometimes the wisest thing you can do with your tongue is to stop it. Job had three friends. They were friends. And the best thing they did for him was at the beginning, when they just sat there with him for how many days? Was it 7, 10 days? They just sat there with him, with their mouths shut. And then Job started talking, and then they started answering. And their answers were all, they got it all wrong, basically. But the best thing they did was just sit there. They sat there with him. Maybe they put their arm around him, maybe they wept with him, but they were with him. So one of the wise things that a wise speaker will do is be quiet. Verse 19 of chapter 10 of Proverbs, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, here I am talking, right? I'm not restraining my lips, so I hope I'm not violating this very proverb or principle. Remember, proverbs are not laws, they're principles that we apply differently in different situations. But he who restrains his lips. Now, preachers need to remember that and not just go on and on. But still, it's a good principle in everyday life to know when to restrain your words. Wisdom is knowing when to be quiet. But when she speaks, it is a blessing. In Proverbs 10 also, just a couple of verses later, Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. But the lips of the righteous, so this is speech now. So she's not always quiet. When she does speak, it feeds. She feeds her family not just with the food she got at Costco, but she feeds her family with good words, wise words. Fools die for lack of understanding, but the wise words from mom feed her family. Now, where, moms, will you get wise words? Yeah, you know, from the Bible, the fountain of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We'll come to that. But if you want to speak wise words, you find them in the Bible. Teach your kids the principles of God's Word, the Word of wisdom. She opens her mouth in wisdom. So, you know, it's so encouraging to hear moms teaching their kids Scripture, memorizing Scripture with them, Scripture songs, singing them, so that they grow up and the first thing they've known is Scripture. And they can quote Scripture. And even if they're not saved, that will not depart. That's going to be there, imprinted in their memory. Proverbs 15 and verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. The lips of the wise, what knowledge will you spread? Now, I know some of you homeschool, and so you're spreading knowledge that way. Spreading knowledge, you know, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, some history, and so on. But part of and behind all of this is knowledge of God's Word and God's creation, God's order. Why do we have order in creation? Why do we see such beautiful colors of the leaves? Why do we see such intricate creatures? My grandson in the Philippines caught a snail while he was out riding his bike. Brought home this snail. They have a pet snail. I mean, how many of you had pet snails? I never did. But as they watch this snail munch on a cucumber, as they watch it crawl around, it's creepy. Crawly, rather, is his name, Crawly. What? This is God's creature. Who could have invented a snail? I mean, honestly. And so the words of wisdom teaching children all of the wonders of God's creation and the marvels of His grace. Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge good or acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. So making knowledge good, you have to pitch it down to their level. And so, you know, you don't use the big 25-cent, 50-cent words with the little ones. You, as my pastor previously from Arkansas said, you got to cut it up so small the little pigs can eat it. You know, so you know how to pitch it down to the little kids. It makes knowledge acceptable and good so that they get it all. Proverbs 25:11-12, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Even when it's a rebuke, it's gold. May God teach us to have such ability to speak wisdom and teach knowledge. The wise mother is a teacher to her children. Now, you don't have to be a homeschooler. You can be wise in teaching them every day, wherever they school. But be wise. And this is seen in her dealing with the children. She's wise not only in teaching, but wise in dealing. Now, Solomon was a man known for wisdom. The man who wrote most of these Proverbs. Didn't write this last chapter. This is Lemuel, which he learned from his mom, by the way. The oracle which his mother taught him. Interesting. Now, Lemuel learned wisdom from his mother, but Solomon was known for this. He was the most wise king. In fact, even the queen of Sheba was astounded. And I remember reading, I think it was from Elizabeth Elliot, that one thing about this queen of Sheba and Solomon was that she had no questions left to ask him. She was speechless. A woman who didn't have more questions? That's incredible. So he was a really wise man. But what else do we see about Solomon? Not just his words of wisdom, but you remember the two ladies who came to him with the two babies, one dead, one alive, and they're arguing about whose baby is which baby? And how did Solomon deal with it? Bring me a sword. Pretty drastic. Bring me a sword. Let's cut this baby in half and we'll divide it. Of course, the real mother says, no, let her have it. Don't kill the baby. And the other mother said, yeah, all right. Well, he knew who was the real mother there. I remember Pastor Nichols telling of a dispute in his family with his two daughters over a doll baby. And who had it first and who was going to play with it. And he said, bring me a sword. Well, he did not chop the doll baby in half. But you need wisdom to know how to deal with things among your children. And moms, you need wisdom every day to answer them. Where do you get it? Well, James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But ask in faith and not doubting. So you come to God and say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what to do with this situation. Now, are you going to have a light bulb flash on? Are you going to hear words? No. But God will give you wisdom. And you trust Him. This is His promise. Let him ask about who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He doesn't say, are you again? You haven't got this figured out yet? He doesn't do that. Without reproach. He's ready to receive our request for wisdom no matter how many times, because He knows how much we need wisdom. He's not ignorant of our needs. And so, she is wise in her dealing with her children. Speaks wisdom, deals with them wisely. Furthermore, she fears the Lord. And of course, you say, how can I be wise? How can I be all this? Well, this is where it starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As he says here in this chapter, chapter 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So young men, single women, I mean, men, this is what you should look for. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. And that's not saying look for an ugly woman. I mean, beauty is nice too, but the chief thing, does she fear the Lord? This is key. Does she fear the Lord? And ladies, married, single, divorced, widowed, this is key for all of us. Do you fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything. You say, I can't fill this bill. This is Superwoman. Who's like that today? Can do all these domestic things? Knows how to answer in every situation? She doesn't exist. Well, yes, we're all affected by sin. We all have remaining sin. We all have a ways to go. But it starts here. And this is where every one of you, every one of us, I'll include myself, need to start every day. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This means she's a woman of faith. How can you fear the Lord if you don't know Him? And the only way to know Him is by faith. You know who He is? He is the righteous God. He is the God who has said He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. That means me and you, He will punish sin. My sin, what I've done, all of it, there must be an answer made. The wages of sin is death. A woman who fears the Lord, she knows that He's the judge, and therefore she doesn't run away from Him. She runs to Him and says, pardon me. How can God pardon sin? We saw it earlier. He pardons sin through the blood of His Son. He sent His Son to pay that penalty. The wages of sin is death. But He knew no sin. He had no sin. Why did He die? He died the just, the Bible says, for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And so, if you want to be wise, you want to be a good mom, you need to know the Lord. You need His grace, you need His pardon, you need His forgiveness for you. And then you can forgive your husband and your children for their sins. You see, this godly fear is both the root and the fruit of redemption. We come to Him because we're afraid of judgment, but we come to Him and then we have that fear that is born of forgiveness. The fear of a child who loves his father, not wanting to displease Him. She's a woman of faith. Ladies, you're sinners. Men, you're sinners. You need pardon. You need grace. You need acceptance with God. That's the Bible's teaching, that there's forgiveness in Jesus. There's no other name, the Bible says, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. It's only one name. The name Jesus. He lived a perfect life. When I have Bible studies, evangelistic Bible studies, I love to ask the question, do you know anybody who kept all God's commandments? And usually I get this kind of response, no. I say, I know one. And then the light comes on. Jesus. Not only did He keep all God's commandments, but He died. He didn't deserve to die. Why did He die? He died the just for the unjust. He died as that penalty, paying the penalty for sin. That all those who trust in Him, hide behind Him, their sins are received by Him. Nothing left for us. And so that's what this wise woman has done. She's put her faith in Jesus. The fountain of wisdom is the fear of God, and the fear of God brings us to Christ. It means she's one who will follow the Holy Savior. As Peter wrote, as obedient children, don't be conformed to your former lusts that were yours in your ignorance. Don't go on in that old way of life, he says. But like the Holy One who called you, like Jesus, He called you out of darkness. Be holy yourselves in all your behavior. And so this wise woman, this good mother, this good person, wise person, follows the Lord Jesus. We walk in His steps. We go in His ways. It means that her relationship with the Lord is priority number one. Yes, she loves her husband and she loves her children. But she loves her Lord, first of all. Now, ladies, I know it's tough when you've got little one who wakes up early, wants to be fed, and is not going to take no for an answer. And then you've got to get your husband off to work, and then you've got to do the laundry. And there's a mother's job is not easy. But you need to make time to talk to your Lord and to listen to your Lord. Make time for the Word. Make time for your prayers. Make time for a relationship. You know, when we read that verse earlier in 1 John chapter 1, one of my verses that I use in my devotions as one of those prime the pump kind of verses, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also that you may have fellowship with us, John writes, John the Apostle, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, let that sink in. This is John the Apostle. He says, I, a human being, living in a sin-cursed world, have personal fellowship with God the Father and God the Son by the Spirit. It doesn't mention the Spirit, but of course He's there. This, ladies, men too, is where you start. Not just, oh, I did my Bible reading, check. I prayed 5 minutes, check. I prayed through my prayer list, check. Have fellowship. That means communion, sharing with your Father in heaven. Go to Him. Refresh, revive your souls day by day. How can you be this mom unless you have fellowship with the Most High God day by day? Do you have that? You know, what John says there is by grace. It's because Jesus, His blood, washes away all our sin. Verse 7. You need Christ. You need His help. You need His Spirit if you're going to be this mom. And so, as we end this morning, let me say this. First of all, moms, all y'all moms out there, if I can let my southern roots come out, we appreciate you. And all you do, it's hard work. And it is the most important job on the face of the earth. Because you directly influence the future of our country, of our society, of our church. You have a vital role for tomorrow. We know you're not perfect. Your kids know you're not perfect too. But we love you and appreciate you. And so husbands and kids, here's a message for you, not just Mother's Day. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I teach at Trinity Christian School. I teach 7th grade. And I was a little bit surprised this last Thursday that some of my students, as they made, I guess it was Tuesday, as they made their way out of the classroom, they said, thank you. That was, you know, it was nice to hear, but it wasn't usual. Well, it so turned out this week was Teacher's Week. And it was, in fact, Teacher's Day was last Tuesday. And so maybe their homeroom teacher told them, you better say thank you to your teachers. Okay, and so they did. Well, it was nice to hear, but I don't know, maybe it was more forced. But so kids, this is for you. Tell your mom thank you. But not just today. You know, we had a song on a tape when our kids were small, Mother's Day. And so the kids were making pancakes for mom, except they exchanged baking powder with baking soda. And they came out kind of hard and flat. But the mom said, thank you. Do you want another one? They're lovely, but no thanks. Very filling. Well, don't just be nice to mom today. Appreciate your mom every day, for all they do. Moms, lesson for you, you need grace. As I said, being a mom is a difficult job. It's an important job. It's a vital job. But you need help. Where do you get help? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. You need a large dose of patience. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You need that too. Self-control. Another big dose of that. But it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, moms, you need grace. Again, getting the kids out of the door for school, for soccer, for track, for whatever it might be, after they're out of their diapers, all of that stuff, it's hard work. And if I may address those who don't know the Lord Jesus yet, I've spoken of Him. The only way to be right with God, to have this wisdom that the Bible talks about, is to know Him. The only way to know Him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him today. Don't put it off. What's the use of that? It's the right thing to do today. Moms, pray for more kindness. Again, I said this is one thing lacking in our society today. It's so rare. That was one thing remarkable in my own mother. The law of kindness was on her lips. It shines in this passage. Kindness in word and deed. Pray for more kindness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Pray for more of that. Lord, make me a kind mom. Make me a kind mom. Pray for that. But all of us, we all need these graces. And so if you're not a mom, or if your children are all grown and out of the house, and maybe your grandchildren are far away, maybe you're not married yet, maybe you're a man and you're never going to be a mom, we all need this. Jesus went about doing good. If anyone had the law of kindness on his lips, it was Jesus. If anyone manifested wisdom in words and teaching, it was Jesus. We need Jesus. Come to Him, trust in Him, follow Him. And if you want to take home message, there it is. Well, there, that excellent wife, she's a model for all of us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, which teaches us so many practical things. We thank you for our mothers, the mothers you've given us. They were not perfect. And we could perhaps highlight all of their sins and deficiencies, but we would rather thank you for the good things that they taught us and that they did for us. And so we ask that our own children would rise up and call their mothers blessed, that we would all have grateful hearts for all that you have done. We ask, O God, that we might emulate more this character of kindness in this harsh, cruel, vicious society in which we live. May we shine like stars and demonstrate that we are saved by your grace, and that we would speak and demonstrate grace to those around us. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.